Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 325, part 2, the conclusion to judging. Today is Sunday, January 5th, 2014. Happy birthday, Dane, Jill, and Deb. Here we go.
There must be some way out of here, said the Joker to the thief. There's too much confusion, I can't get no relief. Businessmen, they drink my wine, plowmen dig my earth. None of them along the line know what any of it is worth. The thief, he kindly spoke. There are many here among us who feel that life is but a joke. But you and I, we've been through that, and this is not our fate. So let us not talk falsely now, the hour is getting late. Tower, princes kept the view, while all the women came and went, barefoot servants too. Outside in the distance, a wild cat did growl. Two riders were approaching, the wind began to howl.
I remember leading some young people to the Lord, and they came in and they reported, "Oh, we saved six guys tonight." And there was someone at my meeting. "You didn't save anybody. You're nasty and perverted to flesh beyond belief." And they went on and on and on and on. These were just babes in Christ. They would have later found out that Jesus saved them, that they just were the vehicle. And so we cause people's faith to become weaker. We cause them to build walls and not roads. Then the person starts to condemn himself because of our judgment. Do you know how many people have committed suicide because one person starts something and they judge that person and it goes right on and on and on and on and on. And then the person condemns himself. And mostly because they don't know the Word of God. There is therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That's why it's important for all you folks to know that if someone judges you, it should mean nothing to you. That's not love anyway, is it? When we meet Jesus Christ on Judgment Day for Christians, he was going to say this, "As ye judge, so shall ye be judged." Remember the parable of a man that owed $1 million and was forgiven, then a friend of his came in later and he owed him a few dollars and he wouldn't forgive him? Totally received mercy and went right over into the law. He left grace for the letter of the law and was so judged. Well, maybe somebody is fretful one day. Do your kids ever get fretful? Debbie? They ever have a fretful day? Ooh, are you hearing this word? Maybe the person has an occasional burst of temper. Do your children ever have a burst of temper? Huh? Sue, do the kids ever have occasional bursts of temper? Ooh, maybe it's a hidden illness. Maybe it's hidden guilt. Maybe it's a hidden fear or frustration. Do we always have to have credit for everything? Well, one thing you don't want to have credit for when you meet the Lord, and you don't want to be credited with judging. Don't get yourself credited with that at all. It's a funny thing with married couples having problems. We usually pick the one who acts more sanely. But then again, what made the other one act more insanely? Huh? Ignorantly, a lot of times we condemn a man for vanity. Because, see, we would be vain had we accomplished his work. See, there's a big difference between putting yourself in another's place and putting him in yours. I think one is an attempt at wisdom, the other is a speculation in prejudice. And so we misinterpret motives, and we don't know the facts, and we judge from wrong standards every time. Have you ever had a time in your life when everything you said wrong that day? And you didn't mean to say it, and you just kept rolling along saying the wrong things. Do you ever have a day? And then you wonder, what's wrong with me? I cannot stop saying those dumb things. How many have had days like that? Maybe we even mean kindness. But somehow our words sound cruel. Somehow our words sound cross. Did you ever have a day like that? And you say, well, I didn't mean it that way, and you can't explain your way out of it. Well, what exactly did you say? I know it, but I didn't mean it that way. It came out wrong. Did you ever have a day like that? And it's like you can't turn it off. Maybe down at the job. And you're down there and you tell one person to do something and it comes out wrong. And so you're thinking about that, how it came out wrong, and another person comes up and it comes out wrong with that person. You're thinking, man, what's happening? And so you get yourself in a tither and you get yourself all nervous and everything, you know. And you find yourself shouting, and you wonder, how did I get into this thing? I didn't start out to be this way. Did you ever have a day like that? What went on? Did you get up all the wrong side? No, I felt good when I got up this morning. I was singing, I took a shower, went out, I was feeling good, it was a nice day out, come to work, and it just came out wrong. So you sort of misrepresented yourself? Ever happen? Well, then, by the same token, do you think that people can come and misrepresent themselves to you? Well, judge that. That's the way you should judge. By yourself. Say, have you ever had those kind of days? And you just couldn't turn yourself off? I remember when I was a little kid and I got upset. And I knew about three or four swear words, actually a thousand, I'd be honest, Paul. And I was about 8 years old. And I just started swearing that day, and I sweared the whole day. Did you ever have a day like that? When you were, oh, of course, before you were saved. Of course. Huh? And this person, you know what I mean. Beep, beep, blank, blank, beep, 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 blank, 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 blank. Isn't that crazy? Do you think other people have crazy days like that? How many have had crazy days like that? Never had a crazy day like that. Did you ever have one like that, Roy? A crazy day and everything you said come out wrong? I didn't mean it that way. And pretty soon, you know, all of these judges are there and you can't get out. You're surrounded by judges in black robes. You know what I mean? The black robe crowd? And they're all standing around. And how did I get into this mess? And they're all standing there and kind of just looking at you like, well, this person's freaked out. Maybe we'll have to call the mental ward. Straitjacket or what? Huh? And sometimes there's even a secret enjoyment in seeing a person in that position. Why? Because we were that way one time and yet secretly enjoy it. There's another one just as crazy as we are. Huh? Is that true or isn't it true? And so we judge that way. Why not judge in the charitable fashion? Say, oh man, I've had those days. I had those days when I was Snoopy. You ever have a day when you were Snoopy and you didn't mean to be Snoopy, but you were just plain, you wanted to find out something, so you just kept asking questions until you found out. Don't just keep right on asking. And you knew you shouldn't. It's none of your business. But you went ahead anyway. Were you ever having them days when you just wanted to find out? See, did you know where Karen is today? She wasn't in school. You ask these questions. You know you should shut up. And you just keep asking and asking. You can't turn yourself off. You ever been around somebody that asks questions and they can't turn themselves off? Have you ever been in that situation where you just got plain downright nosy? Have you ever had that? Guilty. Have you ever been around someone like that? That's just plain nosy? Well, don't judge them then. Don't judge them. Did you ever have a day when you wanted to find something out so bad, it just like you had the itch on you? And, you know, what's wrong with me? Why do I care? And so you'd kind of play around with this person, try to find out something, and play around with that person, try to find out here. So what I do when I feel a person, well, this person has got a nosy spirit. So whatever they ask me, I'll just tell them. Then it satisfies them. And they feel so good, their tail is wagging, and they walk out. And you just tell them. Does that sound crazy? Hey, it's the sanest thing ever could be. Is it? Did you ever have one of them days when you wanted to find something out, Terry? And it just eat at you. And it could be something so simple, but you wanted to find out. Oh, you were a Sherlock Holmes that day. Your hat turned on backwards and the pipe, and you had the jacket with the lapels hanging over and the corny lace shoes and the Watson next to you. Huh? Well, you just had that nosy spirit that day, didn't you? Omni would like to know exactly what Ronald Reagan said in his secret meetings with the Russians. How many would like to know the secret love affairs of Clark Gable? See, that's why they sell all of those magazines, because we are nosy. We want to know. So they sell us what we want to hear. And it satisfies us until the next magazine comes out. Oh God, let's get a little hold on human nature. But anyway, without intending it, we hurt those who are dearest to us. Have you ever hurt somebody you really, really liked? Did it ever happen to you, Terry? Someone you didn't mean to, but you hurt them. Did you regret it? Did it ever happen to you, Marty? Did you regret it? And you were very, very sorry? You were also terribly embarrassed? And you knew that you were creating a very sad effect at the time? Well, somehow you couldn't turn it off. And yet your mouth kept right on going. And you knew you shouldn't say anything, but your mouth was on a roll. And you couldn't turn it off. And each word was sort of like an echo to you. You say, why can't I shut this thing up? Did it ever happen to you? And it's someone you really like. Oh, isn't there a song? Oh, you always hurt the one you love, the one who loves you most of all. Huh? Did it ever happen to you, Debbie? Maybe at home, and you were just, you didn't mean to, but you just kept it going. And you thought, why can't I shut up? Oh, I'll pour you some coffee. And then while you're pouring the coffee, you keep right on talking. Huh? And the husband's looking at you. And you're looking at him, and you're kind of getting red. And you think, no, why did I do that? But you can't shut up. God, can't. Ever happened to you? Terry, did it ever happen to you? And so down we go into deeper pitfalls. And false pride won't let us explain. Or say, oh, what a dumb thing I just said. And so we remain silent. No talk. No communication. We remain off key. Oh, oh. Off key. Oh. And so our whole day is off key because of pride. Oh. And so there's an air. There's an air around the person. When we get around that person, pride won't let us admit we're wrong. And it comes out. Oh. Ever happened to you, Terry? But you don't want to admit you're wrong. It's false pride is there. Spirituality is at stake, don't you know? And so we start to snowballing down a hill. Did you ever take a snowball and take it and throw it down a hill? And it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's what they call snowballing. Oh, the thing snowballed on me. And false pride wouldn't let me stop. And it got bigger. And bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And as we start to snowball down the hill called mood incline, We can't change the mood now. We've set the pattern. So when we come in contact with that person for the rest of the day, we are in a mood. And now we're rolling downhill, and pride won't let us say we're wrong, and we can't say we're sorry, and we start to snowball. And the whole of the day is, So we keep going and going and going down into the valley. The valley of complete misunderstanding. Why don't we just open up our mouth and say, you know what? I am sorry. And now we can sing on key. I was wrong. Please forgive me. I was annoyed. Don't let that misunderstanding mold, harden into the "I'll never speak to that person again" stone. We don't even know our own hearts. How then can we judge one another? Let's start to throw that comforting mantle of love and kindness and justice over every thought of condemning. And anyway, how can we judge others so harshly when we do not know ourselves? And while we may also suffer so much from the misjudging of others, why not walk right out into the sunlight of understanding? Why not look for the best in somebody? Wouldn't that be better to play the part of Sherlock Holmes? It'd be really be a hunt for some people to find something better in them, wouldn't it? Especially when they're having one of their days. You know what I mean by one of their days? Don't bother me today. I remember when I was in the world, and boss came over to me early in the morning, and I turned around and says, "Don't bother me today." What? I don't want to have to repeat myself. I turned around, and the rest of the day I thought, why did I say that? And it just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. That night I was laying in bed, I had the worst nightmares any man ever had. Oh, God. Because the flesh had to have its way. It was crabby and ornery. It was in a mood. And so when someone says to me, "Don't bother me today," I'll say, "Oh, that reminds me of someone I knew long ago. Pastor Paul." Have you ever felt that way? "Don't bother me today." Have you ever felt that way down at your job when someone comes? You know they're coming up. You haven't had your coffee yet. And you know they're going to come over and tell you something. And you know that it's a mistake you made the day before, ever so slight, and you're going to patch it up. And before you can patch it up, they're right there. "Marty! Marty! Did you? And you'll turn around like... And you start changing right there into Wolfman. It happened to you? Of course. "Pastor, how do you know these things?" I live them. That's why I don't judge anybody. I have enough to judge right here. God says, don't even do that. And sometimes I like to try to help them out. You see, it's such a terrible job to do. But anyway, there'll be those times, won't there? Why not look for flowers and people and ignore the weeds? Those weeds that are just temporary invaders of a person. Of course, there'll be times and there'll be situations that will arise between friends. You'll need a rapid judgment and an action. Say your friend robs a bank or becomes very vulgar in his conversations. And you just reason with him and you say, "Hey, Joe, let's have a little more self-respect, okay?" And then you walk away. "Joe, have more self-respect. Come on, I know you're having a bad day." We all do, and walk away. See, because when it concerns our life, we must make a judgment for us. If it's someone you love, you have to make an evaluation for us. We have to reason. That's why it says, "Father, forgive us." We, not them and they, those guys, them, their guys. How many hearing this? Sound kind of spooky? I mean, let's close it up by saying, let's judge charitably. Well, it seems to me, tell me if I'm wrong, and don't come off with a final. Don't close the door. Tell the friend you want to understand. Tell them I am willing to modify my verdict. See only through the eyes of sympathy. That's the only way you can change someone's character anyway. Because intolerance and prejudice, don't you see, they poison your judgment. Even your worst enemies are not as bad as you paint them. Don't we paint people bad when they do something wrong? Oh, never have an artist paint you if he doesn't like you. You've got a pimple on your face, that thing will be as big as a... Got blackheads on that guy's nose and he puts in the Grand Canyon in there, see? You want somebody to paint you that doesn't like you? They paint a pretty awful picture, don't they? Don't we paint awful pictures if we don't like somebody? Oh, here's that person that sneaks all over her head or all over his head or whatever, and sneaky, beady little eyes. Look at that mouth, thin, mean. And we see people like that. Don't we? We judge them on one little thing they did. "You were naughty to me. You were mean to me. I'll paint a picture of you. Here's an eye. Splat. And here's another eye. Splat. A green one and a brown one. Ooh, let's see. Ooh, mix up some of this stuff. Ooh, okay. Splat." That's where I think these modern artists come from. They're frustrated. They go on out, they take great big globs of mud and they throw it. Okay, that's my first wife. That's my second wife. And they take boxing gloves and they take a flying leap into it, see, and they waddle around in it. Well, we do the same things, don't we, with people. We can judge them on one thing we heard or one thing we've seen, and we don't judge according to our own nasty selves. That's why we can't judge anybody. And then you're stuck with it. You're stuck with that judgment. And so every time you see that person, you're stuck with that thought. Can't change, because you're stuck with that thought. Get out of my sight. I don't want to see you. Right? Stuck with that thought about that person. Maybe it's a person, Terry, that works for you. So all of a sudden, maybe the guy's a toilet person. You can tell he's a toilet person because he's got this red mark on his face from leaning up against the toilet paper in the bin there sleeping. See, he comes out and he's got these marks all over, wrinkled up toilet paper all over his face. and say, well, here he comes again. And so you kind of build a pattern of hatred towards this person. Instead of going over and saying, you know, take a look in the mirror once. See those marks on your face? I've been Sherlock Holming here. And these are definitely toilet paper marks on your face. Let's get busy, huh? Okay, guy? You're doing a great job otherwise, though. The 1 hour you do work. Right? Hey, let me tell you something. I have worked with every kind of nut there is, and I can tell you that you can find the best and the better in somebody all the time, and you can work that out of them. You know why? Because you know yourself. You've been in the toilet and slept. Haven't you? You ever go in the toilet and sleep? How'd I know that one? Well, I slept that way. Got them marks on my face. Only I was smarter. I made sure that no one seen them. Did you ever have that day when you were totally useless? You didn't get nothing done? Sure. Ooh, never let somebody paint your picture that hates you, because every flaw will be magnified. But you know, if somebody loves you and there's a scar on your face, they'll soften it. They'll put just the right shades on it, and so it'll look attractive. It'll look like Zorro. Boy, it's a scar on there, but it sort of blends in with a guy. You know, he's got flaws. He's got a wart on the end of his nose, but somehow it's attractive. Somehow this man has captured this person and brought out every flaw and made it look fit right in there. Fit right in there, so it just goes right with the person. So I'm saying you have to look at people the way they are and appreciate them the way they are, and then those things soften. I remember going back to, might have been my 25th, maybe my 30th, I don't know. Class reunion. And then they had, and it happens all the time, they have some of these girls, they used to call them sissy uglers, okay? And they're the most beautiful. And I'll say, whatever happened to the sissy uglers? And they're standing right in front of you. And whatever happened to sis bom roo rah rah rah, the cheerleader? Oh, she's over there. Huh? Well, you know, maybe I wasn't seeing good then. Maybe I don't know. My sight must have known, these girls are beautiful. Maybe you're seeing them through different eyes. Maybe your critical spirit has diminished. Well, someone's saying on the radio, this has been most revealing, but how do we kill that judgment habit, Pastor? I mean, where it's unnecessary. We must silence expression. But better yet, we must learn not to think severe judgment, even if we don't speak it. Don't think severe judgment. It'll always come to you. There'll always be that little judgment coming, but not severe judgment. See, when we judge severely in our thoughts, it poisons our acts and our attitudes. And so it comes out wrong. Oh! Before the devil takes you on the next trip of judging, ask yourself, like they did in 1942, is this trip necessary? When gossip comes, say, where are the proofs? Beyond a shadow of a doubt. Shut up your criticisms and silence others by a good report. When someone comes in with something, oh, wait a minute, I got this good thing to tell first. Let me tell first. And tell a good report. You'll spoil her action. Let me tell you what's real good. Let me tell this good, me first. You see somebody coming, you know that they're going to criticize. Huh? And you can feel it. The air is tense. You ever feel that way? Do you ever get that way? I've gotten that way when you just get all stiff. You're just going to be critical today. Huh? So, naturally, being that way myself, I can readily discern. It's no big spiritual thing. You can just see it coming. Jump in there and say, you know what? Let me tell you, this is such a good thing. You're just going to love it. Well, then the person standing there, man, you killed my action. Thanks a lot. Huh? And away they go. Look for the good, not only the good but the better, and then go for the best instead of judging one another. Let's admit we don't know it all. You know, it's funny, but the people that know the less about things, that know nothing, are usually confident in everything. And so hence these people are bullheaded beyond measure. And every clock and every sundial has to be set according to their watches. So you don't carry the sea of truth around in a bottle in your back pocket. We're not to measure heaven's line of grace by tying a knot in it where we think it should end. Stop judging. Stop fault finding. See, you can find fault in anyone if you try. If I really try, I can find something wrong with everybody in here tonight. Why do you have your hand like this? See? Why do you have it like that? And why do you have it like this? Why are you laughing? Now you're laughing out loud. Explain yourself. Why are you sitting there with that coat over yourself? I know what you're thinking. Huh? Why are you sitting here like that? Are you judging me? And Dick, you too. You have your arms like that too. Huh? And your wife is poking you. That's not the Holy Ghost. That's her, Dick. And who's this character sitting next to you? Huh? Huh? Jim, who's this character sitting next to you here? No, you. You. Yeah, you four eyes. Why are you wearing those glasses? Huh? Let me get a good look at you. I got your number, sonny boy. Does it sound insane? We do that all the time. Oh, she thinks her kids are so cute, and they are brats. See, you can find fault with anybody if you really try. Oh, he moves too slow, or he moves too fast, or he's too flowery, or he's too dull. See, if we try to judge all God's creatures like that, we would wring the dove's neck for being too tame. Oh, just sitting there being so tame, I think I'll wring your neck. And look at that robin eating worms, wring his neck. And kill all the horses for horse laughing. And kill all the cows for mooing. What am I trying to say here? If we want to beat a dog, I'm sure we can find a stick easy enough. Let's all remember this age-old saying, closing. Sticks and stones may break our bones, but words of judgment can kill us. I think it goes something like that, don't it? Does it go like that? I don't know. I'm as bad at making those quotes as I am at singing songs, you know. But anyway, I do know what I'm saying here when I say don't judge. That's the end. I hope you got the point. Just don't judge. So people will say when you come down the line, here come the judge. Well, I gave you something to think about anyway, didn't I? Huh? Well, it's funny, I know everybody in here, these thousands of people that are here tonight, so got a good memory, photographic. I won't have to have a salvation call. Did you hear this message, preachers? Does it make you feel any better? I hope so. Don't get so caught up in all this and get so caught up in judging the people. Why are they this way and why do they treat me this way and so on and so on, back and forth. The preacher judges the people and the people judge the preacher and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and back. Huh? Sit. Don't judge. Lord, I want to say thank you tonight for this audience here tonight, these precious people that you brought our way. Lord, I just ask you, bless each one in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, just bless them beyond measure in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
There you have it. That was episode 325. That was part two, the conclusion to judging. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com. There you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts, show notes, and scripture links. You can also find the podcast by going to the website, which is www.pastorpaul.org. Join us next Friday for part one of Self-Reliance. Have a great week. God bless you. Keep warm.
You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble, you might like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're gonna have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Maybe a rock and roll addict dancing on the stage. Money, drugs at your command. Women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor or they may call you chief, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a state trooper. It may be a young Turk. Maybe the head of some bigger TV network. You may be rich or poor. You may be blind or lame, maybe living in another country under another name, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you are. You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Maybe construction worker working on a home. Might be living in a mansion. You might live in a dome. You may own guns and you may even own tanks. You may be somebody's landlord. You may even own banks. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve.
to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
You may be a preacher, spiritual bride. Maybe a city councilman taking bribes on the side. Maybe working in a barber shop, you may know how to cut hair. And maybe somebody's mistress, maybe somebody's heir. But you're gonna have to serve somebody. Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk. Might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk. Might like to eat caviar, you might like to eat bread. Maybe sleeping on the floor, sleeping in a king-size bed. But you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve,
yes, indeed,
somebody.
You're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody. Bobby, or you may call me Zimmy. You may call me RJ. You may call me Ray. You may call me anything. No matter what you say, you're still gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Yes, you're gonna have to serve somebody.
Serve somebody.
Well, it may be the devil, and it may be the Lord, but you're gonna have to serve somebody.